You may be seated if you would turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. My subject, seven steps to a miracle. We've just completed a powerful study on the manifestation gifts of the Spirit, and we learned that there are three power gifts, and those three power gifts are faith, gifts of healing, and gifts plural, and the working of miracles. So we don't need to limit God, however, to the manifestation gifts, because you can get a miracle by your own faith if you take the proper steps. So many people, they are in need of a miracle. If you don't have a need for one right now, guess what? Just hold on. You will have a need at some point in time. But miracles don't just happen. And God can heal you through your faith if you will take the proper steps. God can cause you to be a success in life if you take the proper steps. There are steps into success. There are steps into prosperity. There are steps into the blessings of God. Now, the woman with the issue of blood, this is one of the greatest stories in the Bible. In your handout, is we're going to be reading from Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34 later. But this is one of the greatest stories in the Bible. It's a great story because it shows us the importance of a person's individual faith. Your faith is important. Her faith worked for her, and guess what? Your faith will work for you. This woman had a terrible disease. She had been hemorrhaging from her body for 12 long years. She had tried everything she knew to get healed, but she only grew worse. And she had gone to all kind of doctors. She had spent all the money that she had. She was penniless, and she could not find anyone to help her. Let's read the account, and let's look at the seven steps that she took to get her miracle. Now, we're going to be reading from Mark chapter 5, but if you're taking notes, you can write down, this account is so important that it's in the Bible three times. Now, anytime something's in the Bible once, it's important. But the story of the woman with the issue of blood, it's found three times in the Bible. It's in Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 26. Matthew 9, 20 through 26. It's in Mark 9, 25. That's what we're going to be starting to read. And it's also in Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. So anytime God puts something in the Bible three times, it's like saying, verily, verily, or truly, truly. So this is emphasized three different times. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, Luke's account said, she said within herself. That's the key right there, her confession. She said it inside, and then she said outside with her own mouth. She said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And immediately Jesus, knowing himself that virtue or power or dunamis had gone out of him, he turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now, you can get a miracle by touching Jesus, but you can get a miracle by touching something or someone that's in touch with Jesus. Hallelujah. That's how faith works. When you bring faith and power together, that is Holy Ghost explosion. So the man of God should be anointed with the power of the Spirit to heal the sick. Amen? She straightway, the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked about him to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, look at this, daughter, thy faith. Now you can get healed through the manifestation gifts, but your faith, you can get healed by your faith. More people get healed by their faith than any other means. My little grandchildren call me and they get healed over the phone. It's just faith. More people are healed in families by the people faith there than any other way. Look at verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. 7 steps to a miracle. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you for these accounts, Lord, so that we can hear the word of God. We can meditate on it and we can discover the wonderful things about moving in close to you and getting our miracle. Lord, bless your people. Seat us, Lord, together with you and move in a mighty way. Touch bodies and, Lord, touch lives and give us the miracles we need. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, this woman took 7 steps to receive her miracle. I want to look at them. First of all, she heard of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's where miracles begin. She heard of Jesus. Miracles do not begin in chaos. Miracles do not begin in nothingness. Miracles begin by hearing. Where does faith come from? By hearing and hearing the word of God. You hear somebody that's getting healed and you hear of somebody that gets a miracle. You hear the word of God. Miracles begin by hearing. Otherwise, how would you know? Okay? How would you know that you could get a miracle if you had not heard about somebody else getting a miracle? How could you get a miracle when you have no power within yourself to rise up and to get a miracle? It takes energy to rise up and get a miracle. It takes energy, and that's why some people quit. Some people, they just will not put forth the effort to get their miracle. But this woman, she said, I will have a miracle. I'm going to get to Jesus. She had heard about Jesus, and she said, and I'm going to be healed. Her mind told her she was sick. Her body told her she was sick. The pain told her that she was sick. Her natural circumstances, they were all against this woman. Have you ever been there? But she heard of Jesus, and when she heard of Jesus and his healing power, she accepted what she said, what she heard. Her faith rose up, and she said, if I can just touch him, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. There comes a time when you've got to release your faith. You can hear and hear and hear and hear, but until you make some actions and move out and do something, you cannot get your miracle. Hallelujah. She accepted what she heard, but her faith rose up and she said, when I touch him, I'm going to be made whole. Now that there are people that hear that if you go over to that church, West Moline, you can get healed, but some of them never come. There are people who do come and they sit in the church where the gospel is preached and faith is rising and others are getting miracles. The spirit is moving. Yet they never move toward Jesus. They never come to the altar. They just sit back and sit back and sit back. Amen. That's why I want everybody to come to the altar. You know, I want you to notice something about Westmoreland. Go visit some other churches, and they give an altar call, and people sit there like a knot on the log. But we've been trained here. We've been taught that when you start stepping out, you're actually releasing your faith. And go visit some churches. Amen. Some people, they just hear and they hear and they hear and they never put their faith into action. She heard the good news. She heard of Jesus. Step number 2, this woman decided that she would go to the place of blessings. So you got to get to where Jesus is. That was a great crowd gathered all around Jesus. But this woman did not let that bother her at all. She said, I'm not staying here. I'm not going to continue in this condition. I'm going to get up. I'm going to make my way to Jesus. And when I touch him, I'm going to be healed. Now, you know, you can just sit around and never move out toward God and never seek him and never get your miracle. But if you will move in faith, if you will do something, hallelujah, then you can get your miracle. This woman used all the energy and all the strength that she had. Can you imagine having been hemorrhaging for 12 long years? But she didn't just lay there like a lot of people and say, will you please come and pray for me? She'd be dead before anybody ever got there. And her story wouldn't be in the Bible either. No, she got up out of that bed and she made her way to Jesus. Jesus said, come. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, come. And you know, we got the story about the four men that carried the lame man with palsy to Jesus down at Capernaum. They put him on a bed and carried him there. See, faith is always moving. And if you don't want to move out in faith, if you don't believe God, if you can't believe God for your miracle, guess what? You won't ever get one. Well, God may send somebody by with gifts of healing and have mercy on you and heal you like that. But I'm talking about using your faith. Hallelujah. You got faith. Do something with it. Do it the Bible way. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Some people, they feel so pitiful and they never rise up and make their way to Jesus. But you will be amazed at what God will do once you start moving in his direction. I've heard people say, well, I can't stand all that noise. I can't stand the crowd. That the music's too loud over there. Well, this is the quietest place you'll ever be. If you go to hell, there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why don't you come to church and praise God? When you get to heaven, the angels in the glory world, they're going to have to fold their wings while the saints of all ages begin to praise and shout hallelujah to the Lamb who loved us and washed us and cleansed us from our sin in his own precious blood. Are you out there tonight? Am I just preaching to the air? Are you out there? Glory to God. I mean, put some faith in action. Start praising God. Do something. Hallelujah. If you want a miracle, praise God, you got to do something. I just can't stand the noise. That preacher preaches too loud. Same people that go sit in a doctor's office for hours upon hours, yet they won't come to church and believe God for a miracle. You know what that tells me? That tells me that they've got more faith in the doctors than they do in Jesus. I'll tell you what, this is a great book right here. And I am what this book said I am. I have what this book said I have. I can do what this book said I can do. And you can do all things through Christ. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. Miracles belong to you. Miracles belong to God's people. Hallelujah. This little woman, she made a decision. Step one, she heard of Jesus. Step two, she decided to do something about it and to get to the place of blessings. She set out to find Jesus. The fact that she was weak, it had nothing to do with it. The fact that she was sick, it had nothing to do with it. She heard, and she started making her way to that crowd where Jesus was. She said, I'm going to get to Jesus because I've heard that those people that touch him, they are made whole, and I'm going to get my miracle. See, faith talks a language all its own. I said, faith talks a language all its own. Amen. She said, I'm not going to stop. So she took the second step and she decided, I'm going to where Jesus is. Some people, they've sat in their dead churches. Listen to me out there. This church is alive, praise God. We've got the power of God in here. We got the anointing. And other churches have it, but don't sit in some dead church and die where you are. Get where the blessings of God are flowing like a mighty river and get your miracle from God. She didn't send somebody else. Say, oh, go tell Jesus to come and pass by. No, she would have been dead before he got there. That steps to a miracle. And I've studied this thing in all three accounts where it's given in the Bible. So step one is you hear about Jesus. Then you have to, step two, you take it and say, I'm going to the place of blessing. The third step, she forgot about her past failures. She forgot about her past failures. The devil will tell you you're worthless. The devil will tell you that you, nobody loves you, nobody cares, and he's a negative voice that you hear. Some people, they come to be prayed for, and they say, I know God can heal, but I've tried everything. I've gone to every prayer line there is. I guess none of it works. I've heard some people say, I've been prayed for by everybody. I just can't get healed. You ever heard anybody say that? Well, if you talk like that, you're never going to get healed. against all odds, have faith in God. I mean, I'm not preaching something I don't live. I'm preaching out of my overflow. I'm preaching out of the anointing that I walk in, hallelujah. I'm preaching out of things I learned because I had to fight my own battles of faith. I even said, God, why don't you send somebody that has gifts of healing to pray for me? You got them? Send somebody. I had to walk it out. God was teaching me, and now I'm teaching you, hallelujah. That's steps to your miracle. She forgot about her past failures. Glory to God. See, you have to quit grumbling. You have to quit complaining. Well, I don't like that preacher. Well, you're not going to get a miracle. You'll never get a miracle with an attitude like that. Get into faith, praise God, and say something in yourself and then say it outside. I am going to get my miracle from God. This woman said nothing about her past failures. If you're going to get healed, you have to get a right spirit within you. Amen? Let me say that again. If you're going to get healed, you have to get a right spirit within you. It was a woman that said, I heard, I accept it, I go, and I'm forgetting my past failures. Hallelujah. See, you cannot get great things from God by grumbling and complaining and saying, I've tried everything and it didn't work. There are millions of people who could get a heal and they could get a miracle from God right now if they could just forget their past and forget the past failures. Faith is always moving. Faith is always marching. Faith says, I'll pick up a dollar here. I'll pick up another dollar here. I'll pick up five here. I'll pick up 20 here. I'm headed toward my sudden season of prosperity. I'm not staying here. And that's the way faith works, no matter what you need in life. If you need a miracle, that's how faith works. You just start moving. And you keep moving. And you keep moving. And you keep moving. And if you get knocked back, snap back from your setback. Hallelujah. Faith is always moving. Faith knows nothing but victory. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. This woman's faith worked for her. And guess what? Your faith will work for you. And my faith will work for me. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This woman didn't go out there saying to everybody, I've tried everything. It's no use. Why should I go and wear myself out? I'll die sooner or later. Why don't I just stay here and die? That's a voice that will tell you, why rise up? Why go to church? Why, you've never seen a miracle like this, what you need. Oh, is that right? I've seen all kind of miracles, hallelujah. No, take step number three. It's a big one. It's a giant step. She forgot about her past failures. You can just stay where you are, or you can rise up. Faith always moves. She said, I'm going to take this step. And she said, this time, I'm going to make it. She forgot about the past failures. Step number four. This woman did not consider her unworthiness, nor did she consider her worthiness. She did not consider her unworthiness. This woman's name is not even mentioned in the Bible. It said a certain woman. That means you can get it too. Glory. Woo! There's no mention of her name. Just write your name in right there. A certain person. Hallelujah. I'm putting my name right there. She said, if I can just touch him, I'll be made whole. Hallelujah. Her name's not mentioned. Now, if she had said, well, I'm not worthy to be healed. I'm just not worthy. I've done a lot of things, and I shouldn't have done those things, and I'm a sinner, and I'm just not worthy. My God, talk like that, and you talk yourself out of everything. You talk yourself out of salvation if you talk like that. My Lord. Besides, I've done everything wrong. I've never done anything for Jesus. Why should Jesus mess with me? Why should he heal me? I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. Well, you can't get saved like that, and you can't get healed like that either. Miracles don't talk like that. Have you ever heard people talk like that? I have. I hear them say some things. I say, dear God, what kind of preaching have they been listening to? You know, People claiming I'm so unworthy. I was in the shower today, and I was meditating on this right here. I want you to put, Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. And I want you to see what caused this man, the lame man. He's in Acts chapter 3. Put Acts 3, let's start with verse 12. Because I was thinking about the devil is always trying to get us into works. And he's trying to make you think, well, you're not holy enough. You're not good enough. None of us are. You're not holy enough. I can't live good enough to make it to heaven. And the same blood that purchased your salvation purchased your healing. It's all in the atonement. Forget none of his benefits. He forgives all our sin. He heals all our disease. And when Peter saw it, he answered and said unto the people, now the lame man has been healed. He said, why marvel you at this? Why look you so earnest on us that through our own power or our own holiness, we have made this man to walk? The devil said, well, you don't live good enough. I'm not counting on my goodness. I'm counting on the work of the cross. And if the devil can ever get you into works, none of us, no one is so holy they can make it. The blood has declared us righteous. The cross is what gives us access to go boldly to the throne of grace, to obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And Peter said, you people, you took the Lord of glory and you crucified him. It was impossible for death to hold him. And God has raised him from the dead. Now look at Acts 3 and 16. I want to show you how this man got healed, because I'm not talking about gifts of healing right now. I'm talking about faith. Look at it. And his name, the name of Jesus, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong whom you see and know. Yea, the faith that is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Faith is a gift from God. And if you'll read that book, and if you'll take the right steps, and if you'll start stepping and keep stepping toward Jesus, praise God, your faith will work and your miracle will come. They thought Peter did it by his own holiness. Peter said, oh, no, that wasn't it. It wasn't my own power. It was the power of God flowing through me. Some people are afraid to say they have power. I'm not afraid to say it. I have power. Glory to God. You have power. Why don't you just rise up and use it? Hallelujah. Lay hands on some people and watch them get healed. Your faith will work. My faith will work. We all have been given the measure of faith. Not a measure, the measure of faith. And all of us that are born again. So start using it and watch what God will do. But it was the name of Jesus and faith in his name that made that man strong. Hallelujah. Nobody is worthy. Well, let's just talk about worthiness. Praise God. Put Acts 13:46 up there. Because, and then we're going to look at Colossians 1 and 12. But Acts 13:46. Paul is preaching to the Gentiles, and to the Jews, and they did not consider themselves worthy of the gospel. Look at this. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. See, religion will teach you that you're not worthy. But God has made you worthy. Those Jews did not consider themselves worthy of eternal life. Jesus said, watch and pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all of this stuff that's coming. Now, look at Colossians 1 and 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet. One translation, the King James says, has qualified us. There's one translation that says, who has made us worthy. So giving thanks to the Father, which has made us worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Religion will tell you you're not worthy. Get over that kind of teaching. you're not worthy, but Jesus made you worthy when he poured out his blood. The whole world is worthy of salvation because of what Jesus did at the cross. And you're worthy of being healed too, because the same blood, praise God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead paid for your sins and paid for your healing, paid for your miracle. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Nobody is worthy in themselves, but Jesus paid it all. Oh, that's good news. I don't have to count on my own holiness. I live the best I can, because if my heart's condemned, I can't have confidence toward God. But I will refuse to allow the devil to put me under works when I'm under grace. And so many people in the church, they go around, I'm unworthy and I've never done anything. Well, God did something. God sent his son. He spared not his son so you could be saved and so you could be healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The sick must believe that God sent his son into the world to destroy the works of the devil. And the sick must believe that Jesus Christ will, desires, and wants to heal everyone by God's mighty power. Now, if you can't get that inside of you, then you can't get healed. Because if you can't believe that God wants you healed, and he doesn't heal everybody, the devil say, yeah, you one of those he won't heal. You're one of those he won't bless. Get into the book, praise God, and let your faith turn it loose. See, we're not coming to be healed because of our worthiness. We're coming to be healed because of the work of the cross and what Jesus did. You don't get healed by good works. You get healed by your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the children's bread. And God, our Heavenly Father, he has qualified us when he sent his son to the cross. Stood there and watched the whole drama unfold. Watched his son being made sin. Watched him go to that whipping post. They ripped him apart with a cat of nine tails. Beat him to where he was beyond human recognition. And the Father watched every bit of it. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we might be called the children of God. And Jesus said, healing is the children's bread. So, Father, I just release your healing, your miracle working power right now. I do it in the name of Jesus. Peter said his name, through faith in his name, has made this man whole whom you see and know. Yea, the faith that is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And we praise you for your word. It's a living word. Hallelujah. Come to Jesus, because Jesus said, come. Come and you can get your miracle. Step number five. This woman did not consider it too late for her miracle. She didn't consider it too late. No. You would be amazed at the number of people that think it's just too late. That negative voice is the devil. Oh, I've been sick so long, there's no hope. It's just too late. You're too old. Hogwash. Praise God. He renews our strength, renews our youth like that of the eagles. We're going to get older because we didn't come here to stay. We came here to go. Praise God. I want to walk out of this world and jump into the arms of Jesus, full of health, full of strength, full of vitality, loaded down with the blessings of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hasha, Rambuko Shatalabaha. If the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken or give life or strength or vitality to your mortal body by the same spirit that raised Jesus. Go on, praise him. It's the spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, working. Woo! Hallelujah. I've been sick so long, it's just no hope. That's the devil talking. See, I moved into a realm of the prophetic. Now, my notes say this right here. Christ can raise the dead. It's not too late for him. But I just said, if the spirit of him that dwells in you, that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, he'll quicken, he'll give life to your mortal body. Hallelujah. I thought back to Brother Melvin Barnett, Sr. He was my prayer partner. And the doctor told him in 1954 he was going to die. And he went to be with the Lord in 1995. I did his funeral. That's not too bad. I put this in my calculator, 41 years, 24 hours times 365 days in a year is 8,760 days times 41 years is 359,160 hours. And then I got to thinking about my mother. So I pinned this one down. My mother died giving me childbirth. Oh, it's too late. It's too late. She's gone. Well, she went out of her body, went out into the spirit world and saw Jesus and said, Lord, can I go back? I don't want to leave my husband and those three children. The Lord said, you have my permission. You can return. She came back in her body. And when I was 62 years of age, she went home to be with the Lord. She was 89 years old. So I was 62 at that time. I put this in my calculator. And my mother lived 62 years longer. And I said that times 8,760. 543,120 hours. See, the devil's not in control of anything. Oh, he'll tell you. Look how long he missed it. Dear God. And one brother Barnett, it was 359,000 plus hours. My mother, it was 543,000 plus hours. He's not in control. He doesn't control your destiny. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He knows you're lying down. He knows you're rising up. And he can do anything, anytime, if you use your faith. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've heard people say, oh, they're too far gone. Who's too far gone? God's not too far gone. God is with us. He said, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And your faith can work. I can remember looking up at the ceiling. And I mean, I didn't have any strength, any energy. About 62 at the time. Here I am, 74. Hallelujah. 74 years young, full of energy, full of power, full of God's glory, full of his goodness. Hallelujah. Loaded down. Glory to God. That's how God wants his people to live. Don't you have any problems? Sure I do. Dear God. But I've got faith. I mean, I've got faith. You've got faith. Put it to use. I'm so glad I studied under Dr. Lester Sumrall. He said, feed your faith. Starve your doubts to death. Let your doubts die in Jesus' name. That's a good preaching there. Feed your faith. Starve your doubts. Let your doubts die in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, you don't jump to the top step. There are steps you must take. You can't even get into this pulpit. I mean, I might could have done that flat-footed one time in my life. I know I can't now. But have you ever noticed that I don't take three steps up every time I take that step right there? Have you ever noticed that? I do that on purpose. I do that because I want the devil to know I still got pep in my step. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. You don't know how I feel sometimes when I come up here, but I'm not going by my feelings. I'm going by my faith. And he says, no, praise God, got pep in my step. Glory. Woo! Hallelujah. It's your faith. Use it. Do something with it. Do what you want to with your faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, this woman, she took the proper steps. First of all, she heard of Jesus and she accepted what she heard. Number two, she decided, she made up her mind to do something about it. Look at your hand out there. She got to the place of blessings. Number three, she forgot her past failures, her past nothingness. She forgot the whole thing. She didn't even mention it at all. Look at the story. Look at all three accounts. Then she stepped up and said, wait a minute, I'm going to do something about this situation. She said, I believe God can help me. So step number four, she did not consider her worthiness or her unworthiness. No. Step five, she did not consider it too late to get her miracle. I mean, this woman's been sick and hemorrhaging for 12 years. She's penniless, broke, tried everything. Nothing has worked so far. But she's making her way to Jesus. Hallelujah. There is a woman who did not consider it too late. She said, I'm going to get to Jesus. I'm going to get my miracle. It's never too late for God's power. It's never too late for him. It's too late for the devil. But for us, it's never too late, because all things are possible with God, and all things are possible to him that believes. Amen. Well, it just didn't work for me. Well, you didn't take the proper steps. If you're taking the proper steps, it will work. The story's in the Bible three times to tell us how to use our faith. Hallelujah. One of the devil's favorite weapons is to say, you can't get it now. You failed. You're a sinner. Don't you know those thoughts that you had? Don't you know how unholy they are? That's the devil. He's the one that injects them in your mind anyway. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar. Get radical up from the ashes. Hope will arise. There's a whole lot more in you than you realize. Death is defeated. The King is alive. He's alive, and there's life in him. If you can just touch him, you can be made whole, and you can get your miracle by your faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, that's what Mary and Martha said. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And now it's too late, Lord. It's just too late. And that's when Jesus cried. The Bible said Jesus wept, and he wept because of the unbelief of those that he loved so much. Don't be a too-later. Believe God for new strength. Believe God for new power. Believe God for new anointing. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And just because you're in a season of weeping, maybe you're just headed for your sudden season of joy. Go and praise him. Hallelujah. God's favor is for a lifetime, and you are blessed and highly favored of God. Glory to God. Don't be too late. Get some new strength from God. Step number six, the woman didn't say, I have no one to help me. Now, she'd been sick 12 long years. She had tried all the doctors. They didn't even want to see her anymore. You know, she was tried everything. But she didn't say, I have no one to help me. You will not find that in your Bible. So she didn't consider it too late. I've told people, come over to the church. Come over to Westmoreland. We'll pray for you and you can get healed. Oh, I don't have anybody to help me. I don't have any way to get there. I guess I'll just stay at home. I feel better if I just stay at home. And millions of people, they stay at home. I remember when I had open heart surgery, I went to the church. I got out of the hospital on a Tuesday, and I went to church on Wednesday night. And somebody told me, said, you ought to be at home. You ought to be at home resting. I said, well, I tell you what. I can rest at home, and I can rest here. But let me tell you something. I can get a miracle in the house of God that I can't get at home by myself. If I get with people of like precious faith, now I didn't get up and preach. And if I had it to do over again, I would take a little more time getting back in the pulpit. But it was just something inside of me wanted to get back in that pulpit. And I had to learn some lessons. Hallelujah. We all do. But praise God, my faith was moving all the time. That's what I'm saying. This woman could have said, well, I'm not going because I don't have anybody to help me. And if I got there, I couldn't get through the crowd. She didn't say that. It's not in the Bible. She went after her blessing. She made her way to Jesus. Now think about it. This woman had to elbow her way through the crowd. And this crowd is all around Jesus. And she got in the press. Sometimes you just got to press your way through. Sometimes you just don't take no. Sometimes you just say within yourself, I am going to get my miracle. You know, if I had let people influence my life the way they wanted to, I would never have amounted to a hill of beans. They tried to keep me from getting preaching credentials. They tried to keep me out of the pulpit. They tried to stop me from getting a college education. I said, no, nobody can stop me. Then I got Jesus involved in the equation. Now I'm unstoppable, and you're unstoppable too. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Your faith will work for you. She made it all the way to Jesus. And she got there. Step number 7. The woman discovered that she was healed. Look at Mark 5:29. And straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt within her body that she was healed of that plague. Aren't you glad that feelings come? I mean, good feeling. God will not withhold any good gift from you. Use your faith. I try to use my faith every day. And I talk to the devil and I tell him who I am. I tell him what Jesus did. I tell him that I have faith. Today, you know, I've heard people say, I plead the blood, I plead the blood. I didn't like that term. And I'm talking to the devil. I'm still having my shower. I'm talking to God and I'm talking to the devil. Amen. And I said, God, I plead the blood to you. I claim the power of the blood. But I'm not going to plead the blood to the devil. No, he's subject to me. He's subject to you. He doesn't have authority over you. You have authority over him. You have kratos. You have dominion. You have exousia. You have authority. You have dunamis. You have power. It all belongs to you. You have the keys of the kingdom. So you just tell him who you are and what you're expecting your God to do. And then plead the blood to the Father. Because the Father, hallelujah. Look at verse 30. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? When she finally touched Jesus, she was immediately healed. And Jesus, knowing that power, that virtue, that dunamis had flowed out of him, he said, who touched me? And Peter said, Master, the whole multitude is shoving you and pressing in on you. Everybody's touching you. And you said, who touched me? Jesus said, somebody touched me. And that was a different touch. I felt the touch of faith. Somebody touched me. And when they touched me, they released their faith. And I felt them draw power out of me. Hallelujah. Jesus said, somebody touched me. He knew that was the touch of faith. This woman was made whole at that moment. She had reached the top at that particular moment in time. At that point, she discovered that she was healed. It was a positive action. It was a positive action because she refused to be denied. Has God ever promised you something and you got denied? Listen to me carefully. I told my wife back in the early 90s, I said, I'm going to be the purchasing manager at Firestone. I know it. God spoke to me and said, promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. God is the judge. He puts down one and he sets up another. The controller called me with the chief engineer into his office and said, Jerry, you are the next materials manager. He left with my promise. He never promoted me. But I told my wife, I said, I know that was the voice of God. I know that was God speaking to me. And that position belongs to me. It doesn't matter who they put there. And you know my directions from God? God says, what I want you to do is I want you to help that person that they put there. And so now my assignment is to make them shine, because they hadn't been in that department like I had all those years. They hadn't done the stuff I had done. They didn't know what I knew, but I didn't know what they were grooming that person to become a plant manager. I did not know it. It happened a second time. And this time the Lord spoke to me. He said, help them. And they were grooming that person to become a controller. And one day I told my wife, I said, Teresa, I got my own business. I'm a senior buyer. I'm making plenty of money. I don't even want the position. I said, but they are going to promote me to that purchasing manager's position. I don't even want it. I said, but I'm going to take it. Because if I don't take it, I'm going to have to help whoever they put in there, and they'll get the money and I won't. So I'm going to take the position. So I took the position and was very successful at it, because I'd been groomed for years and years and years. But it was amazing how God was teaching me during that time frame. He was teaching me how to step into miracles and how to walk in miracles and how to trust Him against all odds when everything else said no. And I was learning. And by the time that I became a pastor, I knew how to handle people a lot better, because I had sat in that position. I'd been in a similar position when I was in the Marine Corps with people under my leadership. God will work on your behalf, but if you'll use your faith, and I don't know who I'm talking to, if you keep using your faith and keep using your faith and keep believing God and just keep taking the proper steps, Pastor Ricky, then you can get your miracle. It was a positive action, because that woman refused to be denied. It was her attitude of faith and that brought her healing from that issue of blood. Now, I want you to close with this right here. Sometimes you just need to release your faith. Sometimes God puts you in a situation where there's faith and power. And when power comes into contact with faith, there's a Holy Ghost explosion. See, Jesus, the whole story is this. When she touched Him with faith, He said, I felt virtue. I felt power flow out of me. She never touched Jesus. Sometimes all you have to do is touch somebody or something that's in touch with Jesus. When she touched the hem of His garment, she received her healing, because that was her point of contact. And she said, if I can just touch His clothes, I shall be made whole. So don't ever limit God in any way. Just release your faith. Take the proper steps. I gave you that handout so you could take it home and study it. I want you to take those other examples in the Bible. Well, just look it up and see how many times that story is given in the Bible. Study each one of it and watch this woman as she uses her faith. Now, if you don't have enough energy or enough concern to do that, then I've just fed you and fed you and fed you, and you've done nothing to help yourself. I gave you those steps so you could take them, so you could study that, and so you can receive your miracle, and so you can help others to get their miracles. Let us stand. Said I couldn't do all seven in that time frame. We did it. Hallelujah.
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. His name
I love you, Lord. I thank you for the privilege to deliver your word. And I thank you for backing it up with miracles, signs, and wonders.
He is here. You can touch him. You